Good evening and welcome to the Reeves McQueen's Municipality Regular Council Meeting, Tuesday, May 23rd, 2023. I'd like to call the meeting to order. I do have two additions to the agenda under recommendations 7.2, valuation, and 7.3, sick leave accrual. I apologize for the lateness of these. They were sent, but they didn't make it to the agenda. Are there any other changes to the agenda? Seeing none, if I could have a motion to accept the agenda. Moved by Councillor Gidney, seconded by Councillor Brown. All those in favor? Are there any petitions to table today? I do not believe there's any public question comment session. And approval of the minutes, regular council May 9th, 2023.
Mayor Norman, don't we have a presentation?
All right, I've skipped. Yes, we do. I was looking down my list to see where that was. We have with us today Marie Rasiopa. And Marie is with the Mercy Tobiatic Research Institute, commonly known as MTRI. And she is going to let us know the results of the Municipal Species at Risk Stewardship Survey and things we can do and consider as we move forward. So welcome, Marie.
This little guy. Okay, perfect. So that was an excellent introduction, and hi everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about our work at MTRI. And yes, we will be discussing the species at risk stewardship. And there was an environmental stewardship survey that went out to municipalities. So I'm going to be going over the results that we had there. And I'm Marie Rasiopa. I'm a communications and outreach coordinator with MTRI. I'll have the next slide. So here's a quick agenda of today's presentation. So I'll give a brief introduction to MTRI and the Gespuic Conservation Collaborative, which is called the KCC. I'm going to present some of the broad results from the survey, and then I'm going to talk about some results that are specific to this municipality, and then I'll talk about the Species at Risk Toolkit, which the survey is going to be informing, and then we'll have our 10-minute Q&A period. So at MTRI, we are a science-based research group focused on protecting biodiversity. We have projects that are dedicated to the research and conservation of multiple species at risk, including Blanding's turtles, eastern ribbon snakes, bats, lichens, monarch butterflies, and Atlantic coastal plain flora, or ACPF species. MTRI is a partner organization with the Family Forest Network and is a member of the KCC. So we have our mission and our vision up there, and I'm not going to go through them today, but you're all welcome to take a look at our website and read it for yourself. On the next slide. So the Gespuic Conservation Collaborative, or the KCC, is a group of 18 partners, and this includes Mi'kmaq organizations, non-governmental organizations like MTRI, academic institutions, and federal and provincial government departments. So the KCC was established in October 2017, and the collaborative is working together to conserve species at risk and biodiversity in the Gespuic Southwest Nova Scotia Priority Place. Next. So we distributed an environmental stewardship survey to municipalities so we could get at the question that's up on the slide: how can we support municipalities in species at-risk stewardship? So to this end, we asked what environmental concerns are of greatest priority for municipalities, and what are the barriers that municipalities face that are impeding their ability to do environmental stewardship. And we also sought to identify opportunities to link municipalities with various environmental groups and initiatives that can help with environmental initiatives, I mean, and provide their support and expertise. So we closed our survey in March of 2023, and we had 56 respondents that came from 22 municipalities of the 24 municipalities that are in Gespuic. And I'll go to the next. So I'm going to go over some of the key results we gained from the survey. Keep in mind that there was a varying level of response by municipalities. We had an average of 3 respondents from each municipality, and over 50% of our respondents were council members, and the other 50 was staff members, including from a variety of departments, including planning. There were some bylaw enforcement, there was quite a bit of administration roles, but a big variety of different roles in terms of staff. So we had a graphic facility, oh, can you actually go back? Thank you. We had a graphic facilitation artist create these visualizations of what we heard for 4 short answer questions. So for this image that's up there, we asked municipalities what makes them unique, and we heard about a lot of different ecosystems that are in Gespowick, and we also heard about the services that they provide to humans, including recreation and a sense of place. So ecosystem services were a big part of what makes municipalities unique, and respondents mentioned different habitats that species at risk use, and our respondents were also quite knowledgeable about species at risk. We had 61% of respondents were able to name at least 1 species at risk in their municipality, and they're also quite knowledgeable about the various ecosystems in their municipality. Despite that, the majority, or 54% of our respondents, were unfamiliar with the term ecosystem services. So it was a little interesting that ecosystem services were used kind of implicitly when talking about what makes their municipality unique, but the term itself was unfamiliar to the majority. And our participants generally did not consider the loss of vital ecosystem services as a high concern, which could be the term acting as a barrier for understanding that question. And that's further evidenced as 59% of the respondents reported that species at risk are important to healthy ecosystems. So there's a bit of a mismatch there where the loss of ecosystem services wasn't a priority, but it is important for species at risk. And this told us that municipalities do recognize a link between species at risk and ecosystem services, but just don't use the concept of ecosystem services. And then another part that came out from this particular question is you can see that Gespowick is a part of what makes municipalities unique, and it's a part of this sense of place and cultural identity that we picked up on. But there was a really low familiarity with the Gespowick Southwest Nova Scotia Party Place Initiative, with only 23% of the survey respondents being familiar with this initiative. And currently there are 11 priority places across Canada, including the Gespowick Priority Place, which are all being funded through the federal government for conservation, and they all have really high biodiversity and high concentrations of species at risk. So this shows a need for, or an opportunity for, more engagement with municipalities to solidify the understanding of the links between conservation, species at risk, and various environmental concerns that each municipality has. So to the next question, we asked, what is the main environmental concern for your municipality? We had an overwhelming response that climate change is the biggest priority across municipalities in Gespowick, and 21 of the 22 municipalities mentioned climate change, and most of those also mentioned related issues such as extreme weather events and sea level rise and erosion, and they're all kind of on the upper left corner of that image there. But there are lots of other issues, and water quality was the second most commonly mentioned concern that municipalities are facing. And to the next one. Kind of similar, we also asked about challenges or barriers that municipalities are facing and that are impeding their ability to engage with environmental stewardship. And the forefront issues are all kind of in the middle of the picture there, and it was a lack of funding, a lack of capacity, a lack of multi-level government support, and a lack of political will. So those were the greatest challenges across the board, but there were also some issues such as a lack of information on species at risk and just not exactly knowing what to do if you find a species at risk. To the next. And for the last graphic facilitation, we asked what municipalities or what tools municipalities are already using for conservation and what tools and resources they would like to have available to them in the future. So this was really great for getting some ideas for informing our toolkit and different resources that we could provide to municipalities. And we found that municipalities generally need access to experts that can help with outreach and education events. They need information on species at risk, both in terms of mapped habitat or mapped ranges of species at risk, and also guidelines for action. And there was quite a bit of response in the survey about municipalities working in silos and wanting to find more ways to work together and wanting to engage more, not just with each other, but also with other levels of government, but needing some help with building these relationships and in some cases repairing lost trust. And NGO support was also frequently mentioned here, although over 60% of our respondents were not aware or they were unsure of any NGOs that were working with their municipality for environmental stewardship. So again, kind of an opportunity for municipalities to engage more with NGOs or for NGOs to try and provide more support to municipalities and make sure that the municipalities know who we are and how we can support. So to the next question, or the next slide, I will now talk about some responses that were specific to the region of Queens, and there were some specific or unique features of the area that were noted, including a high proportion of protected lands in this municipality, and then there's also a range of forests and wetlands and ocean access, so a little bit of everything. Climate change and associated issues like erosion and extreme weather events were the greatest concern that the region of Queens is dealing with and trying to adapt to. And respondents from Region of Queens agreed that municipalities have a role to play in conserving species, and there was a consistently positive response when asked if municipalities have the authority to act as environmental stewards, which could happen through policy, planning, education, and engagement efforts. The greatest challenges to stewardship in this municipality was a lack of priority given to environmental issues, stemming from a lack of awareness and resources available to address these types of issues. And in terms of opportunities, the Region of Queens didn't name any NGOs that they are currently working with, suggesting potential for more engagement and support. And the respondents were not aware of any policies or planning strategies that are implemented by this municipality and are aimed at environmental stewardship. Although that is not necessarily true, there are strong setback policies to protect vegetated buffers in this municipality, but there aren't any mentions of species at risk in your bylaw documents. On to the next. So from this part, I'll talk a bit more about the toolkit and the plan that we have for the toolkit, and the website link that is up there is where the toolkit will be, but currently there's a interactive ecosystem services infographic at that link, so you're all welcome to go and check that out and learn a bit about ecosystem services, and it all links to specific projects that are happening in Gespelwick that engage with those ecosystem services. So we hope that by having these discussions with municipalities that we will be able to create a toolkit that will fill real informative gaps, help with outreach, and connect municipalities to organizations that are providing support. And some of the tools that we have been developing for the toolkit include a variety of spatial or interactive tools. So we'll have two maps, one of which will show which municipalities are missing key planning documents from their municipal website, and it'll highlight the municipalities that are incorporating species at risk into these documents. And then we are also planning to create a map, an interactive map, including the species at risk habitat data or critical habitat data, with some success stories alongside it and some special places that were mentioned by the survey respondents. And the last interactive piece will be a decision tool where users can go into the website and click on a taxon of species at risk and then click on sort of like a theme of ways to work towards its recovery and then get a kind of list of different actions you can take, such as outreach would be one of the themes, and then it would tell you different social media strategies and ways to protect the species, or species management could be another theme, enforcement is another theme, so all this to get to different recovery actions so that there's tangible ways that users can find an actual action that they can take to benefit species at risk if they have one on their property or if they find one out in Crown land or in the wild. So we're also looking at, on the right side, we want to consolidate some existing planning and conservation tools. We want to find some good examples of bylaws and strategies to kind of prop up on this website and share with other municipalities. And we're looking to enlist the help of a planner for some of that work. And for the next slide. So we'll also have a couple of interactive tables for municipalities to find funding opportunities and organizational support, or find which organizations can help with a specific issue, such as a planning issue, or if they need species at risk expertise. And then other kind of catch-all topics will be in the right side on community action reports and guides, and that will include resources like native plant lists or dark sky preserve best practices, water quality resources, kind of everything that is still in environmental stewardship but isn't species at risk related will be in that section of the toolkit. And for my final slide here, please contemplate this question: how can your municipality be supported in environmental stewardship? And you're all welcome to reach out to me via email with any questions, suggestions, opportunities to work together on a stewardship initiative. And thank you all for listening, and I'll open the floor for questions. I think I actually do have one more slide. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Marie.
Faster than 10 minutes as well, yeah.
Thank you, Marie. Questions, comments? Councillor Councillor Charlton?
Do I have to?
We're still getting used to this. We just got them. Thank you for your presentation. I was curious when you expect the toolkit for municipalities to be available.
The timeline right now is early fall. I'm hoping to have it all out on the website and live.
Councillor Gidney, was that the question? Other questions or comments? Councillor Fancy?
Yeah, so like different things will change. Like just for us is a lot of time to come is just word of mouth. Like, for instance, people would say, don't pick lady slippers because lady slippers are, they're going extinct. Is that true or not? And when things change, how do we know that when things gets updated?
Yeah, that is a great point. Lady slippers are right now a species at risk, but it does change. Even in this survey, we asked people to list species at risk, and there were some incorrect answers, but they were all answers that would have been correct at one point, but the species has recovered and they're no longer species at risk. And just to kind of, MTRI can help with that type of thing, and we have a species at risk guide. I didn't bring any with me today, but if you ever stop by the office, you can get a free species at risk guide, and we are updating it and putting out a new one as soon as possible. So that'll be the definitive resource of what species are at risk.
Councillor Brown.
I just had a question about the difference between a species at risk and a species of special concern, because there's different levels of the province puts some species at risk. The federal government has species at risk, species at concern, and I'm not sure what the limits are.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I can answer that like completely exactly, but there are lots of different. There's also the endangered species. I believe there's both a federal and a provincial level to this, and species at risk encompasses both of those. So anything that is endangered would also be a species at risk, and special concern is a lower ranking level, so they're not quite at risk.
Other questions? I have a few. So we just finished approving a planning document earlier this year, or last year. That took 2.5 or 3 years. What types of policies would you like, if MTRI had their wish, would a municipal government put in planning policies? Do you see it more as actions the municipality should take, or do you see it as enforcement of people in their private lands on planning documents, or what exactly do you see the role of municipalities? You say create policies, but what type of policies, like for our staff to follow, for our citizens to follow, what when you reference policy?
Yeah, I'd say the most effective way municipalities could create a policy to protect species at risk would be in the land use policy, and if there's development proposals stating that they have to check the area for species at risk or for species at risk habitat, and if it's there, then the development can't continue. That would definitely be a very powerful way that municipalities could protect species at risk. The setback laws is another great way to protect buffers and keep lake shores natural, and there's also coming up some more coastal management plans that I believe the federal government is putting out, and hoping that the municipalities will uptake some more protection of federal or of coastal areas as well in the transition zone there. And another example is in Annapolis Royal, they have a specific policy for how they deal with invasive species, and that seems to have really helped them be more proactive with getting rid of invasive species. And they had like an insane amount of invasive species that they could name in the survey, so they were very well informed about that topic as well. So it just showed that making that policy also helped. There was someone who really championed it, but they also seemed to learn a lot from the process. I would say the development is the most important. I know Birds Canada is also trying to get municipalities to adopt a policy that if there's an old building that wants to be taken down with a chimney, that it'll be inspected to ensure that chimney swifts aren't using that chimney as roosting habitat. So just little things like that, so that people have to ensure that they're not changing a land area that a species at risk is already using.
And one other question. Of all the municipal units in Keskabec, which ones do you see as being leaders right now?
That's a really good question, because everyone has a bit of a unique history and a bit of a unique kind of land use zoning setup as well that they have going on. I think I would have to look at my data to be completely sure, but there are quite a few that are mentioning species at risk in at least their municipal planning strategies, their municipal climate change action plan, and their integrated sustainability plans. And I believe like Lunenburg might be one that has a lot of mentions, but then they have a big issue that they haven't zoned most of the district. And so there's a lot of kind of stuff being like that can fall through the cracks because they don't have comprehensive land use zoning, so that's an issue. I know Barrington is also doing a pretty good job with their policy and planning, but they've become a little less engaged now, so it also kind of changes as things become updated. I also did this presentation for Yarmouth, and they had, I believe, two mentions of SAR, or in two documents they've mentioned SAR, and then they mentioned there that they're revamping their planning policies and that they didn't realize they had done something good, so they didn't know to keep doing it or to keep it into their next policy. So everyone is doing some things that are good, and I think everybody has a unique challenge as well that they have to deal with.
Thank you. And before I let Marie go, is there any other questions? Councillor Deputy Mayor Fancy?
Okay. Just one question here with the bats. You know, when we had the white nose syndrome and the bat population went way down, very low. People will have old houses, and of course that they get into a disrepair where bats build into the attics and things. So how do you do we have a responsibility to tell people to say before you tear the house down, check for bats or I don't know. I'm just as a question.
Yeah, it is hard to say what people can do in that situation. People want to tear down their old homes and develop things and can't really stop that 100%. But yes, if there are bats, it would be amazing to see them protected because it has been a 95% decline. And hopefully they will come back. But I believe at MTRI, we know about like 3 roosting sites, and that's about it. And that's encompassing a lot of the bats in the whole area as well. So if we could find more bat sites, then the researchers at MTRI would be extremely excited and would really want to work with someone to conserve that space if possible, because they're extremely, extremely endangered and very iconic summer species. So hopefully everyone can understand that it's hard to lose bats. It's kind of sad. And they are insectivores and will moderate our bug population, so that I think there's ways to also pose it to people as the bats do a service for us too.
Councillor Brown.
Yeah, you've said that you'd like municipalities to take an initiative. Is there a way that private landowners can take an initiative to protect land, like their own properties, if they think there's a species at risk? And I'd love to see the bats come back because the black flies are really thick this time of year.
Yes, private landowners are kind of my next focus. Once I finish the municipal toolkit, there will be a private landowner toolkit as well. And then there will also be on the same website resources for educators and volunteers as well. So those are kind of the 4 streams that we're focusing on.
I believe we're finished. So thank you, Marie. And I know you were giving bat houses away at MTRI not long ago. Some neighbors went and picked some up. MTRI is a huge employer in our north area. Do you just want to just give council an idea of how many people are working full-time, what happens in the summer, a little bit about your power and what you've grown into, because you mm-hmm. have grown into a major employer in the North Queens area.
Yeah, MTRI started really small with only one or two employees, and in the past year we secured $1 million funding from the federal government and now have 15, maybe more staff, and there's about 4 or 5 summer staff that are just here for the summer and helping us out. So yeah, it's a great organization and excellent place to work, and right here in this municipality as well.
Yeah. And anyone with children who want to have a great natural learning education experience, just check their site.
Yes, we have
Wild
Roots.
Because they have great educational family programming.
Yes, I believe it's it might be this Saturday. There is a Wild Roots thing happening. Yes, and it should be really fun for the kids.
Yeah. Okay, so thank you. And safe journey home.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah. So now I'll go back to the regular council meeting and we'll ask again, because we didn't do the vote. It was moved by, we'll just start over, moved by Councillor Brown, seconded by Councillor Charlton. All those in favor? Contrary? And variance hearing. A motion to approve the minutes of the variance hearing. Moved by Councillor Romero, seconded by Councillor Hawks. All those in favor? Contrary? And it's Councillor Muse was not here for the variance hearing. His vote isn't a negative. It's just he's an ineligible because of his own inability to be here that day. There is a recommendation, privateer farmers market waiver policy.
Mayor Norman, sorry. We only did the variance minutes. I don't think we did the council minutes, or is that what we just voted on?
We did the council minutes and we did the variance hearing.
Okay, my mistake, sorry.
Recommendation 7.1 is in the packet if someone wants to make that motion. Councillor Gidney?
I move that the Council of Regional Queens Municipality agree to waive Policy 58, consumption of alcohol in municipally owned properties at the request of Privateers Farmers Market at Centennial Park, Liverpool, on Saturdays from June 3rd to October 28th, 2023. And that the applicant be required to submit proof of insurance and no less than $2 million per occurrence with the Region of Queens Municipality as additional insured. And copy of the effect license, liquor license from the province of Nova Scotia to the region, and that all municipal, provincial, and federal laws be strictly adhered to.
And that's seconded by Councillor Charlton. Ms. Henley, do you have anything to add, perhaps a note of why this has come after the fact? Or
so every year the farmers market, I should say, they're in the ninth season, 8 out of 9 seasons, they've requested the alcohol policy be waived. They didn't request it one season in 2020 with COVID. They didn't have anyone who wanted to sell alcoholic products at the market, but this year they anticipate having some vendors to do that and would like to be allowed to do that. And to do that, we need to waive our policy.
Are there any questions of Ms. Henley? Councillor Brown.
Yeah, does this allow them to give away samples as well as sell?
If their license permits that, yes.
Any other questions of Ms. Henley? Councillor Charlton?
More so about the policy. I just wondered, because this operation operational policy, is this something we could potentially look at our staff dealing with instead of it coming to council? I'm just asking because there's probably some times where certain organizations forget about this and then it could be a problem. just curious, I guess, if anyone is aware of how other municipalities would deal with this, if they just deal with it internally with their staff, or it's a question.
That's a question which I do not know. I guess we could ask Dan. I mean, it is a policy that's formed by council. So how do we give direction to staff that they pick and choose what policies they waive and which ones they don't? CEO Dan, do you have any idea about, in the units that you've worked, when policies have been requested to be waived, do they generally go to council for waiving, or staff, or what's the governance around who gets to waive policies?
Yeah, so off the top of my head, when policies have been waived, they have gone to council to waive a policy. If the policy authorizes staff to make a decision, then that's when. So you have, I think, your community investment fund is an example where you've authorized staff to make decisions. I don't know if this particular subject would be eligible to delegate the staff for the decision making. So that would be, I think, a policy would need to come to council if it's to be waived. And you may wish to delegate that to staff. It might be another option.
So what is council's opinion? Do you wish to move to look at somewhere down the road having staff the ability to waive policies? Or do you wish the policies that council have created to come back to council if they are to be waived? So I've heard from Councillor Muse said they should come back. Is there anyone who's like firmly believes that they shouldn't come back? Councillor Charlton?
That more so was just a question of, I guess, in the future. I wasn't trying to disregard the motion, just to clarify.
No, I know. It wasn't about disregarding the motion. I'm just simply because you were asked that point. So, Councillor Brown?
And I'm comfortable with having these decisions come back to council on a case-by-case basis.
Okay. So we'll just carry on as... So any more discussion on the motion? Not, I'll call for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Passed. 7.2, we'll ask Ms. Vino to come forward, is a valuation, a motion respecting valuation allowance. There is a recommendation. If we could get the motion made and on the floor for discussion. Councillor Brown?
I recommend that Council of Region of Queens Municipality approve the valuation allowance for the 2022-2023 fiscal year of $99,905.
And that's seconded by Councillor Hawks. Ms. Vino?
Thank you, Mayor Norman. And I would just like to say, I would like to apologize to council for getting this to you today. I was not in the office on Friday, and while the municipal clerk did have copies, I believe it was left with me to correct the tweak and send it to Christine and Eric, and I don't think I did that. So this is my ball, and I dropped it, so I am sorry. So the valuation allowance is something that we do every year. We made a policy, so it is very easy to calculate because it's not a subjective thing. It's based on our accounts receivable numbers. It is based on the years that the taxes have not been paid. The year that the taxes have not been paid, they go into the valuation allowance, means the next year they go to tax sale. And they're all scaled that way per our collection policy that we brought to council. The good news this year is that we actually have a negative valuation allowance. We're actually putting money into recovered taxes to adjust this balance where it should be. Last year, there was an $80,000 expense to uncollected taxes. This year, it's, I believe, $4,400 that we're putting in tax recovery, because we've done such a good job of managing our collections, and this collections policy is working so well that in combination with that, the demand for real estate through tax sale at the Region of Queens, we're doing really, really well. So the balance that you see of $99,000 is the balance that you will see on the financial statements. Last year, that balance was 169 and change. So we are doing very well. I know it's been in the news lately. Cape Breton, for example, has been taking some heat because their uncollectible taxes were pretty high. We don't have that problem here, and we're very grateful for that. Does anyone have any questions?
Any questions? All understand thoroughly because we've been through this before. I'm going to call for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Passed. Sick leave accrual.
So similar to
again,
the ballot.
We start with the motion first. So there's Councillor Brown. Ms. Vino, you have to shut your mic off just for a moment so Councillor Brown can.
Thanks. I'll just make the motion where I'm on the Audit and Internal Control Committee. But I recommend that the Council of Region of Queens Municipality approve the sick leave accrual for the 2022-2023 fiscal year of $18,203.
And that's seconded by, is there a seconder? Councillor Charlton. Explanation, please.
So this is the second year we've had a sick leave accrual. Basically what it means is we're looking at the vacation that we owe people that work at our residential care facility because under their collective bargaining agreement, they can save and bank vacation. There's been a slight increase. I believe it's about $2,200. There's not a concern per se. Most of the accrual that we have is two people who never take any sick time. So they can collect, I believe it's up to 400 hours. But this is going to add $2,200 to the Hillsview deficit for the year. But it is something that members of our Audit and Internal Control Committee felt very strongly that should be looked at every year. So that's what I'm doing, and that's the same as the valuation allowance. Both of these things have to be approved by council before I can move ahead and put them in the financial statements, which I'm starting to prepare now.
Questions, comments? Seeing no question, comments? Councilor Brown.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that this goes a long way towards keeping our books clear for the public. Anybody who wants to look at the numbers, everything is written there. When the auditors come in, there's no questions about, you know, did you account for this? Everything is accounted for. Very plain language, very open and transparent. And it's very good to see this done.
Seeing no other questions, I want to call for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Passed. Under discussion, council implementation report. Are there any questions respecting the progress on the implementation report? If not, 8.2, Councillor Charlton wished to have a discussion on the ability for a marketing levy for any municipality in the province to now place if they so wish. So, Councillor Charlton.
Thank you. This is something I wanted to bring up just with, I had some previous discussions with Pam Mood after the NSFM spring conference and had asked about how they utilize their marketing levy. Minister Lohr had referenced that the province had changed the legislation back in the fall to allow all municipalities the opportunity to collect these levies. There were only four that had been able to collect prior to. So in speaking with Mayor Mood, they take their funds that are collected from the levies and they put it back into their community for tourism and different things. So they use it as attractions for tourists. Also it benefits the people who live there. They get to, partake in events. It doesn't cost the taxpayer any money, but there's a benefit from the residents. It also would support small businesses around here. So I think, you know, we have events manager, and I feel like if we were to consider utilizing this marketing levy, then our economic development department under our events manager would have a decent pot of money every year to be able to plan different things. I handed out some documents to each member of council prior to, and the numbers that were given to me from Mayor Mood for Yarmouth were, I thought, fairly high. I did ask to clarify Mayor Norman, there's no accommodations on the ferry, so those are solely from their accommodations in Yarmouth.
Yeah, I realize that those things mean the year the cat was running.
Yes.
Novastar was running, and there was no service on the lower end.
And so this would, you would be able to impose a marketing level levy up to 3% to the total charge of the stay. And recently, the province also came out with legislation that Airbnbs, short-term rentals, if they are renting for 28 days or less at a time, they have to register with the Tourism Act registry now as well, which what hotels have had to do all along. So this would also put that levy on Airbnbs, and I think it would be just something wise to consider. I think there's a lot of value in it, and it could benefit Queens County. We also have a lot of Airbnbs, so the fact that those now would qualify under that is considerable as well.
Discussion. Comments? Do you want to look further at it? I know there is the bill number 204 that was introduced, had its third reading, was passed November 1st. It clearly outlines it. This basically is a fee that you collect from tourists that goes back to promote tourism. So every person that would book at an Airbnb or a hotel or a motel would pay up to 3% of the rate that has to be shown on the bill. The region would have to create a bylaw enacting this. So it would require creation of a bylaw. But so I guess before, I just need to know, is it something that you're interested in further pursuing? Councillor Brown.
Yeah, from when I read about this when it first came out, you can only use the money on events that you schedule. So, you know, any money we took in would have to go towards a special event. And I'm kind of thinking that, you know, one of our big priorities right now is affordable housing. And if we were able to take the money, put it on Airbnbs as a licensing fee that we could use to leverage to build affordable housing, would almost be a better option than funding events, which is the limit of this legislation.
Yeah, it clearly says in item, I don't know, 9 or something, a marketing levy collected pursuant can only be used by the council to promote tourism. We could also collect the money and give it to any nonprofit or corporate organization that's promoting tourism. But it can only be used for tourism promotion purposes. I can get you copies of the bill if you want to see it. I spoke to Ms. Vino about it, about what it would mean on our end. What types of implications? Do you want to share any of your initial thoughts? You didn't look into it deeply. But if we're going to do a bylaw collecting monies, then we involve our finance department in that field. So just some initial.
I'm very uniquely placed in this position because I come from 20 years in the hospitality industry. And so up front, I will tell you that. So I always feel that it's good to talk to the businesses that you're talking about before you make any final decisions. And I guess my concern in the position that I currently have is what are the enforcement tools that we will be permitted to use if the facilities that we have in our county or region just say, no, I won't? Like, what happens then? How do we know the reporting is right? Because all of this, the reporting, it all costs money. I know that for the most part, I could assume that there'll be a code that you could add to softwares and things like that. But still, it still requires resources for the businesses to collect the money. And while we, the region, have no problem, we'll be able to manage taking the money in, where's the accountability to make sure that the numbers that we're being given are correct? Or is that something that council would even care about? Do you know what I mean? How are we going to make sure that all the Airbnbs collect this money? Are we going to be even able to do that? You're zeroing in on accommodations because it's the low-hanging fruit, but there are a lot more businesses than accommodations that contribute to the tourism industry and benefit from it in this region. So you might be tasked to look at that. I'm neither for nor against. I'm trying to look at both sides. I guess from a finance side, we can figure out how to make it work for us, but I just don't want, like, I understand, and I haven't seen what you have from Yarmouth, but I can tell you right now that Yarmouth has high room night numbers when the ferry runs, because the schedule is such that the people stay there the night before and the night they get there. So that fills their hotel room. So I would caution you to make a decision based on that number, because I'm not sure what our number would be. And I also know that we do have tourism operators in this region that spend hundreds of thousands of dollars already promoting themselves and therefore our region, who may have a concern about this, because while it's on the bill, it is always the front-facing people who are asked to explain it. And that's another thing that they have to go through when people check in and check out.
Councillor Muse.
I must be having deja vu, because Jeff, this was brought up before. And I remember, I don't know, Joanne, you was at the meeting. Excuse me. But a lot of the places said that they weren't going to pay. And I mean, we met with, Chris was involved, CEO McNeil was involved, and that at the time they said, you can't make us pay this fee and we're not going to pay it. And I remember the lodge was involved and the Best Western, and they said that we do a lot of promoting now and we don't feel that this is right to charge an extra, I think it was 2% at the time we were looking at or something. But I know that, and I don't think there was anything that we could make them pay. Mm-hmm. There was no law that said, you got to pay this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm not sure, I did read this over. I know that if we did have a marketing levy in a bylaw, we would have the ability to see the records, to see the room nights, to see all sorts of information. But you have to have a bylaw formed. So the creation of a bylaw is what's required. So, Councillor Amaro?
Does the municipality get a list?
Oh, sorry about that, Jack.
That's all right. I know that when we talked about this before, we were talking about even hitting some of the bigger places that had more than, I think it was more than four rooms. I think that's what we were looking at that time. And when it was discussed with the employers, they weren't happy. They did not want to implement this. I guess it isn't so much even the 3% as if are we going to be offensive to them and make them have a bad relationship too? Because they weren't happy at all about putting that 3% on. They didn't want to do that. I don't know how it works up in Yarmouth, if it works very effectively or not. It's a good thing. The other thing too is that if you're going to go pay somewhere, it's funny how people can get upset over nickels and dollars kind of go away, and they see that 3%, they're not happy paying that extra 3%. What am I paying that for? So it's kind of a touchy one. I don't think I'd be in supportive of that right now.
Councilor Amaro.
Oh, it's me. I just keep looking for the red light. I honestly, Councilor Muse, can't remember that meeting, but I do know that I was at a meeting in Bridgewater and that Mayor Mood was there talking about the levy. And the thing that struck me the most was I was the only business person in the room. And I thought that was really unfortunate. If council decides to move ahead with this, I think it will be really, really important to get the businesses together and say, what do you need? What's the marketing pieces that you're missing? I know that the levy in Yarmouth supports Yarmouth and Acadian Shores. It's their destination marketing organization. It's very successful. We have one here, I believe it's called Nova Scotia South Shore, that's based out of, I believe, Hunts Point now. And that's the thing about levies, in my opinion. If you go to businesses and you say, we want you to charge this and we want you to go through the extra work of collecting it and remitting it, you have to be able to validate what you're going to use that money for and be accountable to them, because this is how they make their money. And if you go to them and say, we're going to do it, and ask them, what do you need? What are the missing pieces of marketing that you need that we can use this money for? Or do you want us to put it towards the destination marketing organization? But the consultation, I believe, really has to be there so you don't get that pushback, in my opinion.
Councilor Merrill.
How would you know how many B&Bs is... Airbnbs is in Queens County. Do we get a list?
I suspect we could ask the province for a list of those who are registered.
And that's the key.
That's the key.
Because everyone is supposed to register, but we do know that some don't. In terms of the room nights that are reported to the province, all the hotels must do that. It's part of our reporting requirements. So we would just ask for a copy of that. And I mean, yes, they could be fudged, but you know, you have to expect people to be honest. So that wouldn't be too bad. But again, it's the unregistered accommodations that fly under the radar that, you know, don't pay commercial tax rates, which all the businesses here do. It's not an even playing field. And that's also concerning. I mean, you're looking at really peanuts when you're looking at the 3% from your, you know, 50 Airbnbs versus your Quarter Decks and your Best Westerns and your White Point Beach. That's where the big money is, and those are the people that should be really at the table and say, you know, how do you feel? What can we do? Will this help you? Because we want those businesses to thrive. They're big employers and they bring a lot of people to our region. They're tourism drivers in and of themselves.
And when I look at the bill, within the bylaw, you have to have, we would have to state the forms and the records we designed to be maintained by the operator, the method of collection and remittance of the levy, the rate of the levy, the method by which the purchase price may be attributed to accommodations that are sold, the inspection and audit of records maintained by the operator, interest and penalties for the failure to commit or remit the levy. But I'm going to just ask Dan, because I know in his former municipality, Chester, they did have a marketing levy. And a substantial amount was collected, I believe you told me, in Chester.
Thank you. So Chester Municipality has not yet implemented a marketing levy, but the five municipalities in the county of Lunenburg are starting to discuss the implementation of a regional levy. So they're probably a little bit farther ahead than we are here tonight. So what they're going to explore is if a bylaw is created, would they have a common bylaw? If they have a common bylaw, what would remain common? Would they all charge 2%? Would they all charge 3%? Would they apply the levy to all tourism operators or to tourism operators of a certain size? So they're going through that research process now. If they can settle in on something in common, then the question is, so what do we do with the proceeds? Would it be a regional initiative where the proceeds go into a regional organization, maybe half the proceeds into a regional organization, or would municipalities retain the funding and focus on projects exclusively in their own? And would the funding be used for marketing events, both? So they're going through that process now, but the councils had previously passed, three of them, an interest in pursuing it. So I expect you will see something in Lunenburg County, perhaps sometime next fiscal year. Just on an earlier question, there is a platform called AirDNA that mines the sharing economy business, and you can get some pretty decent information on the number of sharing economy room nights and the value of the resources. If this is something that council wanted to investigate, it would probably be a subscription that would be worth investing in, so that you have much better data on the presence of the sharing economy in your municipality. It's certainly very substantial in the District of Chester, the sharing economy, town of Lunenburg, Mahone Bay, and my gut would tell me that it's probably growing in a substantial presence in the region of Queens as well. Long answer.
So by sharing economy, you mean like Airbnb and not the traditional large-scale accommodations, but the Airbnb?
Thank you, Councillor Gidney. Exactly, it could be vacation rental by owner. I think Airbnb, it might even capture Kijiji, I'm not sure, but it captures those operators, those owners. Yeah.
Councillor Gidney, your light had been red.
Okay, there you go. I think this is a fantastic idea. I do understand that there's a lot of things that we have to look at, a lot of questions have to be answered. There's a lot of things, but I think we've been hurting here, in my opinion, with tourism that we're putting out there. And I think this would be a great way to get some funding to put into tourism and to really promote our region even more. So I'm definitely for this. I think it's a good idea. We just need a lot of questions answered.
Councillor Charlton.
Thank you. I appreciate all the comments from council and Director Reno as well. I certainly didn't mean to implement this immediately. That was not what I meant, but I think it's a good conversation to have, and maybe we can engage Mayor Mood or, you know, other people that have dealt with this. I know she has spoke, she referenced that in Bridgewater to me as well, just to get more ideas and then to have people at the table, because I think it sort of is being explained like it's more complex than it has to be. It's the cost is not on the hotel owner. It's a $3 charge, for example, whatever the fee is. I know my husband and I stayed in Halifax at the Prince George not long ago, and it was like a $3 charge on the bill. It was just added to the bill. We paid that, not them. I understand that they would have to add it. But I guess it would just be, in my opinion, like a healthy conversation to have, and how we could support. They are doing their own things, but if there was value in this, because my gut tells me there is. In reference to Yarmouth, I can give you those numbers later if you would like, but the 3 years that they did not have any ferry service, they still brought in 84,000 in 2019, in 2020, 61,000, in 2021, 93,000. So those numbers were surprising to me. I'll share them with you as well if you'd like. But just, you know.
So the question is, and I was going to ask a question before I listen to Deputy Mayor Fancy, because we could talk about this all evening. But the question is, do we pursue it to the extent that we assign it to staff to look at and bring us back more information rather than just say we want a bylaw? Because do we want to assign it to a staff person, realizing that may not be done right away? But is it something that we want to put on a this year agenda to assign to a staff person to bring back more information and set up meetings with whoever? So, Deputy Mayor Fancy.
Okay, just going back to the one point here that I know Councillor Muse had brought up, and I don't even know what it was before, what we looked at, but it was going to be some kind of a tax. And we had approached some of the big employers, not the big employers, some of the bigger motel places. And they, I know what came back was that we were getting them to put a levy upon their rooms, which they were charging to people coming in. So they were getting the heat of the putting the levy on. And they were giving us money, and they were getting nothing back in return. So those are the two things that came back in particular. They were not, and maybe it was our approach. Maybe it's if we could be able to have somewhere where it's going to, and they could all agree to, and they could all buy into, rather than trying to just say we're going to do this. I'm not saying I'm against it. It's a matter of we have to make sure we do it right this time. Because once we say it again, they're going to remember that we had asked before.
Thank you. Councillor Brown?
Yeah, as Director Vino said, a lot of the hotels pay the corporate tax right now, so they're paying a big chunk of money to our tax rate, and Airbnbs are not. They're flying under the radar. I think we have to look at some way that it levels the playing field, because they've lost a lot of room nights too. People that are not corporations, they're lending their rooms out, and it's hurt a lot of them. So we have to do something like that, and it's really grown, kind of a wild west. In my area, I have 35 cottages around the lake. 11 of them are nightly rentals, and none of them none of them are paying corporate taxes, even though the owners are very seldom there. So it's there's a lot of issues. So I think we have to look at it and not penalize everybody the exact same amount, but I think it's a really good asset if we can get it right. But getting it right is going to be some work.
So my question is, do we move forward and ask staff to bring us back at a later date, some research on what it might look like? Question I ask. Emmy's in favor of asking staff to further investigate this. One, put your hands again. Let me see, five, six. Okay, so we'll have to ask staff to further investigate this. 6 month time return. I assume you'd be looking at something that wouldn't come into effect until next fiscal year. So just put it on our radar as a by next fiscal year. If we wanted it to be in revenues for next year, then we'd have to clearly decide where it was going, if we were going to give it to Shore Tourism, half of it to them for promotion of tourism in Queens County. It doesn't mean we spend it. Could give it to the chamber. If they wanted to promote tourism, though, that's really, they're more about a business development. Because if we're going to make a bylaw and we want to show revenue for next year, then a bylaw takes about 3 months for creation and to go through the process. It's at least 3 months for the creation of a bylaw to go through the process, to have the public hearings, to be approved by the province. So March, we do our budget. We'd almost have to have our homework done and decide by November.
So yeah,
how would that time frame work backwards? If we wanted to have a bylaw in place by next budget,
I think it definitely takes time to get a bylaw drafted and put into place. What I would likely ask, probably our director of economic development, to develop a discussion document or a request for direction document. And I think the components in that would include confirmation of what exists in the legislation, what authority you have. I think I would ask him to look at a jurisdictional scan. What are other municipalities doing? What are their levies? Where's the funding going? So that you have a sense of what your neighbors are up to. He would certainly have to work with Joanne on what does the collection process look like, what does enforcement look like, what are the administrative implications, and I think identify a consultation plan, because I think your industry would be interested in what you're up to. And I think the last thing I can think of is and you were raising it, what are the potential uses for it? So I think if Richard and the team can come back with a discussion document, you would then be, I think, in a better position to kind of direct more specifically what the timing looks like, what the amount might be, and so on. So I think that would be the first step, and I'll ask him what the timing on that looks like. I don't expect you'll see it at the next meeting, but knowing that it's a logical starting point is the start of a fiscal year, I'll have him kind of put pen to paper on the steps in the process and what you'd have to have in place at what point in time. I wonder if that's, I think that's what I would probably be talking to Richard and the director team about.
Is that okay? Councillor Gidney?
We need to make a motion to refer this.
Do we need a motion? Or are we okay with this is open, we have a view plane, do we need a motion to further pursue, or just for CAO to direct staff to bring back a discussion paper in the future?
Whatever works. So what I'm afraid of, that it gets lost in the shuffle somewhere and it doesn't come back. I'd like to see it so that in our council implementation report, for example, that we can see this. We know it's there. So I'm just concerned, like, if we make it in the form of a motion that this is what we need, but I'm not sure if it's a motion or what that would constitute. I'm not sure how that would
work. Okay, so that's a motion that would have... Basically, during discussion, we either make a motion for something that we thoroughly discussed to come back.
Right.
Or... we don't really give a motion.
No, we'd make a motion today to put this in our next meeting.
There won't be a paper. There will not be a discussion paper by the next meeting.
No, we don't want a discussion paper. What I'm asking, is this a motion where we refer this for the information that we need? Do we need a motion for that? That's my question.
I don't know. I'm going to look to you for all that. Do you feel there needs to be a motion that this appear on next council's agenda with a motion that says we're going to direct staff? Because that would have to be a motion if we're going to make a motion to direct staff toward the investigation of a marketing levy. Then that would have to be next council.
Yes, because we can't direct staff.
We direct our CAO. We direct staff. So we don't have the authority to direct staff. So unless we direct somebody to do it, I just want to make sure that we follow the lines here and that we've got a sequence of events that we can follow. Because this would have to be done by October.
Yeah.
Would be my thought.
Yeah.
I win.
Our viewers.
I'm just saying, Mayor Norman, that when we did the bylaw for the road levy, I'm pretty sure that the municipal clerk came to the meeting with a recommendation for council that we as staff were to move ahead with the road levy bylaw, but I don't think we had the discussion paper. It was after the discussion. So the recommendation that came forward with the road levy was staff were instructed to move forward with drafting the bylaw for the road levy.
Yeah, but we're not at that point in time.
No.
Councillor Charlton, do you have a suggestion on how this can not get lost in the shuffle?
Yeah, this mic game is very interesting. In the past, we have just given direction. I think there's a little bit of confusion
there, but
I can think of a few things that we would have done that for. So we're just giving direction. And then because we can't really give a timeline is my impression until Dan speaks to Director Lane. So I personally am comfortable with the direction, and then we can get some more information, and then we will have to decide if we need to move forward with any recommendations going forward. So I think that's fine.
Councillor Gidney, you okay with that? Okay. So you got that, Dan?
Thank you.
Where's my thing? I think I need a motion to move in camera. Moved by Councillor Gidney, seconded by Councillor Charlton. All those in favor? Passed.